I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Okay, if I told you that there is a multi-billion-dollar industry that thrives in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., in the ports of Sicily, and in the jungles of Uganda, you might find the answer a little challenging. The industry is sex trafficking, but in the 21st century, in the places I mentioned, it's probably more accurate to call it sexual slavery. We're talking millions of women and girls, some held captive by gangs and forced to pay back their debts, others tricked into the work by promises of a better life. But most of the women don't stay in this bondage forever. They do get out. And that's the focus of a new series from our Across Women's Lives team, Those Who Get Out and What Happens After. Christina Asquith heads up our Across Women's Lives project. So, Christina, the theme is the journey out. It can't be an easy journey to get out of this life, is it?
Definitely not, Marco. The journey out is always difficult, but we decided to focus on it because when you look at the women and girls who are trafficked, the majority of them do get out eventually. In fact, one woman from New Jersey, a Mexican-American woman that we spoke with, she's 84 now. She's breaking her silence about how she was trafficked when she was 14. She's never told her story before, but no one helped her out. There were no services. There was no one rescuing her. And that's the case with a lot of the women who are trafficked that we talk to. They get themselves out of a trafficking situation, often overcoming huge amount of shame, often rebelling against a family maybe who sold them into trafficking. Mm. So it's that internal resilience and it's that path out that we see these women taking by the reins and owning that we really wanted to highlight in our series.
And why tell kind of the circumstances at the back end of these people's lives as opposed to kind of the forces that got them into this in the first place?
So trafficking and the what we call the fallen angel narrative of a woman who goes from schoolgirl to the street, it's such an overwrought and such a cliched story that we've seen in the media so many times before. And we didn't want to tell that story because, like I said, when you go out and you talk to women and girls, you see a different story that is so inspired by their own resilience in getting themselves out of this situation. And of course, when we think about how do we want to begin to tackle something as massive as trafficking, well, it comes down to understanding the challenges that women and girls face and getting themselves out of it and really understanding it at a very intimate level. And you can only get that when you talk to these women and girls themselves.
One of the reports comes from Sicily. Why is that an important place to talk about in terms of sex trafficking?
Sicily is a major port for migrants coming from the Middle East and Africa into Europe. And we've seen a big uptick in Nigerian women in particular. This last year, their numbers doubled to 11,000. And these women, our reporter tells us they stumble off these ships. They're hungry. They're often coming off alongside caskets of victims who have died on the way over. They're put in a corner in the port under a sign that literally says the vulnerables. And they have in their hands a phone number of a madam that a trafficker back in Nigeria has given them. And it's like they have this choice. Do they stay in this detention center where it's overcrowded, it's sweaty, there's no future opportunity, or do they call this trafficker? And so they call a trafficker, they get out, but it's a, now they're trafficked and they're told that they owe 30,000 euro for being trafficked over the cost, that there is a pathway out for them if they can pay this back. And, the next thing they know, they're kind of on a highway alongside a gas station, and this is their life.
A different sort of trap.
That's right. And so our reporter there talked to three or four different women who had gone through this journey, who had gotten out of it, and really walks us through that journey getting out.
What an intense story. That story, by the way, is already up at PRI.org. So the first daughter, Ivanka Trump, tweeted this week about her second White House meeting on trafficking. How big an issue is this really for her, and what is she doing about it?
Yeah, so Ivanka has met twice now within the White House on anti-trafficking initiatives, and people are cautious about embracing what she's doing. We're kind of waiting to see. She has not announced any specific plans yet. She has said that she wants to hear about what the problem is. She wants to see what the administration can do about it. I think it's worth noting that anti-trafficking and anti-slavery initiatives are popular among her father's base.
That's Christina Asquith, who heads up our Across Women's Lives project. Christina, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marco.